Governor Walker delivered his budget plan to the state legislature last night, calling for a $343 million income tax cut, changes to Medicaid and food stamp programs, more money for transportation projects, more money for the UW system, and an expansion of the school voucher program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February 21st. We have with us two guests from different perspectives to talk about the governor's proposals, and we will welcome your questions and your reactions too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Very happy to have with us Chris Lotto, former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a Republican campaign consultant. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And Kathleen Folk is with us, former Dane County executive. She served as a delegate to the 2012 Democratic National Convention. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy and Chris.
It's great to have both of you here. Let me, before we go into some specifics, just get a general reaction from you with what you think about the budget that the governor proposed last night. Chris Lotto first.
Sure. Well, it's always tough with a two-year budget because, as the old cliche goes, the devil's in the details, and there's going to be a lot of discussion and a lot of analysis in the weeks ahead of what this budget really means for Wisconsin. The governor has been kind of leaking some of this stuff now for a couple of weeks, so you can't really say there were a whole lot of surprises in it. Last night it was surprisingly brief. I mean, I don't even think it was an hour long. Take out the applause lines, and it was probably about a half hour or so. But I mean, I think that the governor understands the challenges that Wisconsin faces in terms of economic development, in terms of job creation, in terms of trying to help the middle class in the state get back on their feet. I think he proposed a budget that reflects that. I think in terms of education, he wants to recognize the districts that are doing very well, and he wants to make sure that the ones that are struggling a little bit more have competition through school choice. But also, he has built a reward structure in place, and now really, Governor Walker brought the cow in, and now they got to make the sausage, and that's what happens for the coming months. But I think we can do kind of a surface analysis of what's going on, but really we're gonna learn a lot more about this budget and its true impact in the coming weeks and months.
All right, Kathleen Falk, what do you think of this sausage?
Well, I've done about 14 budgets, and budgets are all about values and priorities. And if you look at the big picture of what Governor Walker announced yesterday, there's about $1 billion in new spending for roads, private school vouchers, tax cuts. And yet Wisconsin's values of investing in our kids' education and our public schools and getting health care to people who need it so they can go to work and go to school, that got short shrift. So I don't think Governor Walker's budget reflects Wisconsin's values.
Let's take a listen to what the governor had to say about expanding the school voucher program.
Since wealthy families have a choice because they can pay to send their children to a private school, we give low-income and middle-class families an opportunity to also choose a viable alternative for their sons and daughters.
So, Kathleen Falk, what's wrong with that?
Well, right now there are about 30,000 or so kids in private schools, and Governor Walker's budget gives those schools another $117 million. And yet there are 870,000 of our children in the public schools, and that got a $129 million increase. Not fair. The best way to make sure our kids succeed is by investing in their education. This budget doesn't do it. And for job growth and growing an economy, we all know the single best investment we can make is education of our kids.
Is this going to hurt the public schools by doing this, Chris Lotto?
I think what this does is encourage competition, and I've been wondering for a long time when we were going to actually see an expansion. I think it was only a matter of time, and Governor Walker does obviously have faith in encouraging competition and encouraging choice in districts that are not meeting the standards, and that it will, the rising tide will lift all boats. I do think also, back to the idea of process here, we're already hearing from some moderate Republicans who are saying they are not fans of this plan. There's discussion of whether they we'll have a referendum in districts where school choice would be expanded. So we have a long way to go, but I think it's pretty clear from what Governor Walker is laying out, what he proposed last night. He does believe that school choice is one tool in the arsenal to help all kids succeed in Wisconsin, and I think that's his goal here.
Yeah, there's nothing that helps children in the public school system succeed by taking money away from them and putting into a relative handful of private schools. There's nothing. And in fact, it's actually counterproductive, because with the revenue caps and the cut that schools took last year, which was about $800 million, we are setting back the vast majority of children in Wisconsin and putting money into a new and separate system, which all the data that I have seen concludes is no better than the public school system.
I would argue that while they're not having money taken away, they are seeing an increase at the public school level. It's not a big increase. It's not going to make them whole based on the last budget, but they do have other options for funding. They do have the ability to have a referendum, and it is not, you know, all is not lost for the public school system.
It's not accurate to say that the 1% increase is actually going to improve public schools because of the revenue caps. What it means is we pay 1% less in property taxes, but the schools, our children, get not one penny more.
Let's take a call. Ivy in Evansville is with us. Hi, Ivy.
Hi. I'd like to hear what they have to say about how voucher schools, like virtual schools especially, are viewing public money is for education as the last government cash cow and for profit. And I'd also like to know who decides who can open a school. So what if I want to open a school that worships Satan? Can you really stop me? I mean, how would that work? So people don't realize. They assume that it's these old traditional schools, religious schools, that will get the money, but anybody can do this.
Devil's in the details, I guess, is appropriate here, Chris Lotto.
Yeah, don't we have a new Salem in Wisconsin? It sounds like the perfect place to open that school. I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you all the details about what goes into a private school. My understanding is that certain standards do have to be met. I think the data that we've seen from schools in Milwaukee, for example, is that they are performing exceptionally well, and at a budgetary level, less than what MPS pays per student. So I think that there is an argument to be made that choice schools are a cost-effective option. We're not going to go to an all-school choice system in Wisconsin. It's not going to drive public schools out of business. I think that's an overreaction and sort of an alarmist take. It is really an effort to encourage competition and introduce that into the system, really for the betterment of all kids.
Kathleen?
Well, let me just repeat again. The data does not show that private schools are doing better than public schools. And so the experiment that was started years ago, we've now seen the data, and creating two separate school systems where one has standards of accountability, which is the public school system, and the private school system does not have those standards of accountability, is not a good use of public tax dollars. But it gets even worse. You know, another provision in the governor's budget bill would put another $20 million of our money into private school vouchers for children with developmental disabilities. Now, the leaders and parents and organizations that represent children with developmental disabilities have fought for years against such a proposal. They have fought to have their children in public school settings instead of segregated in private schools. So it is the wrong direction of a use of public dollars when 870,000 Wisconsin children need a better education.
Quick reaction.
Yeah, I mean, quickly to Kathleen's point, I mean, that's what Governor Walker is getting at, is the idea that public school districts are held accountable and they are not meeting the standards that they have to meet. Many in Wisconsin are, and I'd say the governor took great pains to point that out, but some aren't, and that is what we're trying to get at here.
Let me ask you both to react briefly, too, to the $181 million boost the governor is proposing for the UW system and giving the system more flexibility, though I'm not sure exactly what that means. Kathleen Falk, that's not bad, huh?
No, it's who everyone supports having a strong technical college and university system. And the university and the technical college system took such big hits in the last budget that I think this is going to be well received. But what the other choices were in the budget, you know, are the ones that we're going to be arguing about for the next 3 months. an $824 million increase in road spending when the governor rejected improving health care by taking advantage of President Obama's national health care program. Those are the wrong choices.
Yeah, we'll talk about transportation and health care and other things in after our break. But Chris Lotto, the other education funding for the UW system?
Sure, briefly. I mean, it is good news for the UW system. It doesn't quite make them whole from the cuts they had to take on in the budget that's currently in place. But even David Ward, the UW chancellor, the interim chancellor, said this is the best budget they've seen in many cycles. So clearly the governor is making higher education in the UW system a priority.
Chris Lotto, former communications director for the Republican Party, a Republican campaign consultant, and Kathleen Falk, former Dane County executive, served as a delegate for the 2012 Democratic National Convention, are two guests reacting to Governor Walker's state budget address. He delivered his spending plan to the state legislature last night, and we are talking about some of the particulars and welcoming your questions and reactions too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is our winter membership drive. I'm here with Rob Ferret, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can make a pledge at of any amount at 1-888-202-2552. I'll get that right. 888-202-2552, or pledge online at WPR.org.
And when you pledge at any amount, you can get entered in the drawing for an iPad mini. Any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered into that drawing and you'll support great radio here on the Ideas Network.
Listening to the Ideas Network is a lot like going out for coffee with a smart friend. It's enjoyable and informative. It piques your curiosity.
And somebody has to pay for it. You make this daily cup of coffee on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
That donation comes back to you every day in the form of great programs. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality. We can't keep that quality up without some money, though. And a lot of that money comes from you. Listener donations make up the single largest portion of our budget.
You can pledge now. Pledge any amount. You'll be entered into that drawing for an iPad mini. We're looking for 40 pledges this hour. We've got our first one already. Thank you so much for getting us started. It's a great time to pledge. You support great radio. You get entered into that iPad mini drawing. Find out the details of how that works and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I think I'm at the age, you know, I'm 25, just out of college, kind of, you know, semi-unemployed. A lot of things are starting to come across my mind, like, you know, healthcare, just to have so many different perspectives coming from public radio. Sometimes it's comforting, sometimes it's unsettling, and it's really great to have. My name's John Stickley, and public radio is my source for up-to-the-minute, unbiased information and perspectives.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Rob Ferret, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe your gift is $5 or $10 or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you pledge $10 a month or more, you can choose food for 40 as your thank you gift. This thank you gift provides 40 meals to those facing hunger in your area. For more information about food for 40 and to make your pledge, go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Looking for 40 pledges during this hour. Help us reach this goal with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today, you will be entered into the drawing for that iPad mini.
When big news happens, when there's something important going on, like the governor unveiling his
two-year budget, you know that you can turn on the Ideas Network and you're going to hear about it throughout the day. You appreciate that kind of information and also the entertainment, the enlightening conversations we bring you. What's that worth to you? Put a dollar amount on it and make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. Thanks very much, Rob. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Kathleen Falk and Chris Lotto about Governor Scott Walker's budget plans that he unveiled last night. He delivered his budget plan to the state legislature, calling for, among other things, a $343 million income tax cut. And he called for more funding for transportation projects. Let's take a listen to a clip from that part of the speech.
Overall, we make a $6.4 billion investment in our transportation infrastructure in this budget, a budget that supports roads, bridges, buses, freight rail, airports, and yes, ports. A good transportation system is good for jobs.
And Chris Lotto, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that, you know, the state, you know, has its priorities. One of these things is maintaining a solid infrastructure. It does lead to economic development. It does lead to job creation. It's something that the state needs right now. The governor clearly recognizes that. And as he pointed out, you know, we're talking about multiple modes of transportation here. And it's something that Wisconsin needs to maintain. I mean, you cannot have a healthy economy that's going to grow without it. So that's just common sense.
Kathleen?
Roads are important, but the issue here is priorities. And $824 million extra for road building versus $129 million to educate 870,000 school kids in our state, I think are the misplaced priorities.
Yeah. We have a lot of callers on the school issues. Let's go back to the phones. Troy in Milwaukee. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I just want to say that I think this is more of a, if you look at the big picture, a way of hurting labor. And I want to say that charter schools actually get paid, because there's both good teachers in public and in charter schools, okay? The issue actually is that charter schools pay less and they don't have pensions and they're non-union. So obviously it's a kind of a no-brainer why Walker would support charter schools, and there's actually some Republicans who have invested interest in a chain of charter schools in Milwaukee. So.
All right. Is that what this is all about, Chris Lotto?
I would respectfully disagree with the caller. I think it's about something that's deeper than that. As I've said earlier, is encouraging competition in the school system and really trying to help all kids succeed. And it's providing another opportunity. I mean, nobody wants to see the public schools go away. I mean, you know, Governor Walker pointed out his own kids went to public schools. My daughter goes to a public school. It's not the goal to see these things crumble. The goal is to introduce competition in such a way that it encourages success at all levels and in all types of schools. It's not this nefarious Republican plot to drive public schools out of business, because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Kathleen Falk, the proposal says that a district has to have, I think, two schools that are failing or not achieving up to snuff, and then they could have this parental school choice program, so the parents could choose a better school than a failing public school. Why are the schools failing?
Schools fail for a variety of reasons, but I think the most important one is that the day kids start school in kindergarten, if you have come from a disadvantaged or difficult home, you start out behind where the other kids are, and you spend years catching up. And so the way to have schools succeed is by us investing in programs from the day kids are born. So when they show up for kindergarten that first day, they're not behind. And then they need resources in school, a good teacher, a good curriculum, professional growth for staff, and resources in a classroom that help every kid succeed. And so that's why we need to invest in public schools, and why the governor's budget that puts a disproportionate amount in private schools abandons the almost million kids in our schools.
Yeah, and what do you have to say about the caller saying that this is another slap at labor to boost private schools?
Well, you know, I think that Governor Walker's budget last year you know, where he took so many labor rights away from Wisconsin workers that have existed since the 1930s to help move families out of poverty and into the middle class, as labor has helped us around our nation. You know, his values were made pretty clear in the last budget. But now, when I think the single biggest issue in the governor's budget is going to be this disproportionate increase in unaccountable private schools that don't have to meet the same standards, don't have to educate every kid that walks in the door like the public schools have to, that will be the single biggest issue in the budget.
Megan in Monroe is with us now. Hi, Megan.
Hi. I've been listening the last couple of days, and I keep hearing your guests talk about competition and how the schools need to be more competitive. And I think that is a ridiculous idea, and it's rather insulting because it implies that the teachers aren't trying that hard. And that if you give them incentives or punishments, that all of a sudden they're going to work a lot harder. And that's, if you've ever known a teacher, that's not what we're motivated by.
Yeah. Chris Lotto?
Well, you know, you can talk about it at the individual level, and you can also talk about it at the structural level, that the school districts as systems are looking at ways to be more competitive and to basically do better. I mean, that is clearly one of the goals here. So, you know, the idea that, you know, this is a slap at public school teachers, which everybody acknowledges, and the governor did last night as well, that there are, you know, innumerable public school teachers that work very hard, go to class every day with a goal of teaching kids and moving them up and helping them do the best they can to succeed. It's really not about that. And to take it as, well, this is really just meant to insult teachers is really not the point.
And Kathleen, we have just a minute before a news break.
Again, the single most important thing we can do is invest in our kids. And it's not like choosing between whether to go to Burger King or McDonald's. Your local public school is where your children go. And so them having the resources at that school when they walk in the door is what will make them, our children, succeed for the rest of their lives.
Kathleen Falk is the former Dane County executive, served as a delegate to the 2012 Democratic National Convention, and Chris Lotto is former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a Republican campaign consultant. We're going to move on and talk about some other issues that were announced last night during Governor Walker's state budget address. Talk some about changes to Medicaid and also this job requirement for anybody getting food stamps. We'll talk about those issues and more as we continue on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Now that Governor Scott Walker has formally released his next two-year budget plan for Wisconsin, let the debate begin. We are talking with two guests from different political perspectives about his education, transportation, and other spending priorities. We'll get back to our discussion with our two guests in just a moment, but first, Rob Ferret joins me with an update on our winter membership drive. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Joy. We are off to a good start this hour. We're looking for 32 more pledges by 8 o'clock this morning. You can help us meet that goal. You can help support great public radio in Wisconsin. And you can get entered into a drawing for your very own iPad Mini. You can do it all at WPR.org. Pretty easy to make your pledge there. Or pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552.
Do make that pledge because you realize that you are the most important source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. You are the most important part of our budget. We count on your pledges to help bring you these programs on the state budget at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Give whatever feels right to you.
Think of all the great perspectives you've gotten, different ideological perspectives, analysts, people who've been studying this stuff for years, not just on the state budget, but on all issues in state politics, national politics. How much is that worth to you? It's hard to say, but we're asking you to put some kind of number on it and make a pledge. Maybe that number's $10 a month, and you can make an ongoing donation from your bank account. You can figure out how to do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Rob, earlier this morning we heard from Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling. We heard from Republican State Representative Dan Lemahue. We heard from another political analyst talking about the state budget. We did similar types of programs with a wide variety of guests from many different political perspectives, talking about the state of the state, the
state
of the union. Now here we are with the state budget address. We do this for state politics and for state elections. Day after day, we are your source of in-depth information on the public policy issues that make a difference to your life here in the state of Wisconsin and in the nation for that matter. So put a dollar amount on what this is worth to you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know the product you're buying and we don't charge you for it. Well, you can volunteer to help pay for it. Make that pledge and remember, today, get entered into a drawing for an iPad mini. WPR.org is the place to pledge or call 888-202-2552.
All right. Thanks very much, Rob. We'll hear from you at the end of the hour. Let me welcome back our guests. We're very happy to have our guests with us today. They are regular guests for our Friday Week in Review show, and we ask them to come on from time to time besides the Week in Review on Fridays. Kathleen Falk is here. She is former Dane County executive. She served as a delegate to the 2012 Democratic National Convention. And Chris Lotto is here, former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a Republican campaign consultant. And we said that we would talk about some other areas of the state budget, and let's talk about this proposal next.
My budget changes the food stamp program so that non-elderly, able-bodied adults will be required to be enrolled in employment training to receive food stamps. More than 75,000 people will benefit from getting extra help with job skills.
You think that's a good idea, Kathleen?
I think it's always a good idea to help people get job skills. You know, people who right now are unemployed, and there's still way too many in Wisconsin, aren't just sitting home hoping the world gets better. They go out and look for jobs. And so my only worry here would be to make sure that people who have child care and that sort of thing. But more skills is what we need in today's economy.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Oops. No problem. Kathleen's concerns are certainly valid, and I think that, yeah, it's the idea of giving folks a hand up instead of a hand out. And, yeah, having additional job skills and helping folks who are able to work to find work and get a job and keep a job is of course, one of the governor's priorities. So, yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah, the governor also wants to talked about the changes that he's making to Medicaid. He says that 87,000 people who are above the poverty level will be moved off of Medicaid and presumably go into those health care exchanges instead of Badger Care. Is this concerning at all to you, Kathleen Falk?
It is. It's really sad. You know, President Obama led the nation in creating some health care that is just sorely needed for so many people across the country. Right here in Wisconsin, about 500,000 of us still don't have health insurance. And so under the national health care law of President Obama's, there would have been $250 million more available to Wisconsin citizens to get health care, about 175,000 of us. And Governor Walker has turned that down. Now, his proposal in moving people off of Medicaid that are currently on now are those people who are making about $12,000 to $15,000 a year. Now, if you're making $12,000 to $15,000 a year, you're going to have a hard time buying health insurance. You're going to have a hard time paying the deductibles. And so you're not likely to get the health insurance you need and your family needs. And it means you're ill, but we all end up paying for those costs when people then show up in the hospitals for their health care. So it's just very sad that Governor Walker has not taken advantage of the national health care law. We heard in the news just this morning that the Republican Florida governor has decided to opt into that, as six other Republican governors have, because it's just the wise and smart thing to do to get people health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could add one more thing, which is Governor Walker's argument for not taking it is he can't be certain that federal money will be there 4 years from now, 6 years from now. And, of course, that's the case. But it's also the case that we can't count on federal money necessarily being there for roads or schools or airports, and yet Wisconsin, the governor, takes federal money for those programs now.
Mm-hmm. Chris Lotto?
Well, what the governor is proposing is smart. I mean, he is recognizing, I think, that the federal government may fall well short of its promise to fund the expansion, and he is using a component of Obamacare to get at this situation. I mean, what do we know about Medicaid as it is right now? It has some terrible health outcomes. It's a major cost drain. There's no guarantee Congress is going to continue to support it at the levels it does now. It drives up the cost of insurance for everyone else. Hospitals overcharge people with private insurance because Medicaid isn't reimbursing them at the level they need. So what is the alternative? Obamacare grants states the ability to have low-income patients sign up for regulated exchanges, and that's subsidized private sector insurance, and that is the route that the governor is going with here. It's a smart alternative that leverages a component of Obamacare in a way that the governor clearly thinks is more structurally sound for the long haul. So it's actually a smart way of getting at this concern and making sure that more people are being covered.
It's not making sure more people are being covered. 175,000 more people would get covered if the governor took advantage of the federal health care law. You know, here's where it's important to put ideology aside and politics aside. I mean, the federal health care law is now the law of the land. And so to turn down the opportunity for 175,000 people to get health insurance that need it right now is just sad. It's really sad.
John in Windsor is with us. Hello, John.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the health care issue as well. 100% of federal poverty is $12 million, and I think that the Republican person should read Time magazine this week, which talks about the excesses in private health insurance. But my concern is this, is that you have individuals with disabilities that are going to have to purchase health insurance through exchanges that is not going to cover their needs. Thus, they will not want to be going out and getting jobs. You know, you're really restricting that. As far as the medical outcomes, you know, when you make $12,000 a year, you can't afford to go out and buy a head of lettuce. That's what the health outcomes. Poor people have bad health outcomes because they can't afford to purchase good food.
All right. What about that, Chris Lotto?
More of a statement than a question. I mean, I'm not sure how to address it. I think, I would just go back to the points that we were making originally, that the governor is looking at different ways of getting at this issue, because obviously the concerns are not only taking care of citizens in Wisconsin who need that hand up, but also doing it in a way that's economically sound and feasible. I mean, you have to balance the two, and that's just the cold, hard truth of it. And I think that the governor is trying to strike a new path using leveraging a component of Obamacare to get that done.
Anything further on this, Kathleen Falk?
Well, you know, even those who opposed the national health care law, such as some other Republican governors, commenters. We saw when Governor Walker made his announcement he was going to reject the federal health care option here, that people who had been the strongest critics of the president even said that was, quote, in their words, crazy, not my words here. So it's just, it's just sad to lose this opportunity for 175,000 people to get some decent health care.
Speaking of health issues, Chris, you reminded me during the news break that one of the things that caught your ear last night that maybe you hadn't heard before is the governor's proposing some sort of added fee on state workers who smoke. What's this all about?
You know, and I honestly don't recall even if the governor mentioned as part of the address, but just as part of my reading and research, I saw this, that apparently one of the proposals is a $50 a month surcharge imposed on state workers who smoke. To account for higher health care costs, which is interesting. And as a former smoker myself, you know, you and I, Joy, were talking off the air about how you get at those folks, and you know, is it really you hook them up to a lie detector to find out if they smoke, or how do you narrow that down? But that's sort of one of those interesting little things, and you're going to see a lot of those coming up in the weeks ahead. These little nuggets that are buried in there that you don't hear about right away.
Oh, was there a nugget you hadn't heard of before, Kathleen Falk, that you want to mention?
No, I think the governor had pretty much rolled out what he was going to talk about last night. But one of the things, sometimes budgets are also about what isn't in them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did not hear him talk last night about his campaign pledge to create 250,000 jobs by 2 years from now. And he was, I thought, conspicuously quiet about that last night. Or the fact that, according to the most recent data, Wisconsin still ranks about 42 out of 50 states in job growth. So, you know, what he didn't say last night is sometimes as significant as what he did say.
I would argue that he did talk about economic development. He recognizes the need for job growth. That's clear. You know, and I've been on the show a number of times, Joy, and I've said this pretty much every time I'm on. The governor set a high goal for himself. I mean, as part of the campaign, he said 250,000 jobs would be created. Now, that is something that I think it is fair to say that is one of the factors you can hold the governor accountable for, to look at the end of his first term and say, did he do what he said he was going to do? And people will have to take into account, if he doesn't do it, why didn't he do it? And they're going to have to make their decisions on whether they want to continue to support him. He's definitely set a bold goal and a vision, but I would argue that everything he said in the budget last night, virtually everything, a lot of what he talked about last night, is really directed toward economic development, growing jobs, growing the economy in Wisconsin.
You know, one thing he did talk about last night that we haven't talked about yet was that he wants to get rid of these residency requirements. So municipal employees don't have to live in the city that they work in. Kathleen Falk, what do you make of that?
Well, it's not a new issue, but it will be a controversial issue because it's just always good. It's a good idea to have the people who people are paying their salaries for to serve in the communities that they are getting paid by. It's just kind of a common sense provision, and I know that there will be mayors and other leaders around the state who will be very opposed to the governor's provision here. Mayor Tom Barrett had a press conference last night, again on this topic, because it will hurt the city of Milwaukee, but it will hurt other communities as well.
Yeah, Chris, why does the governor want to do this?
Well, it is a big one, and I think you're going to be hearing a lot of talk about this at the local level and statewide in the coming weeks. I think that, you know, in Milwaukee, the police union and the firefighters union were both seeking this. I think it's a law. It's been on the books for something like 75 years. It's a pretty archaic law. I mean, in the private sector, we don't necessarily expect folks to live nearby or in the community, you know, at the business that they work at. And part of it really is a way to encourage the best of the best to come work for the public sector. So in that sense, it leads to, hopefully, presumably, the best, most qualified candidates being available, whether they live within the city or town limits or not. And just on, based on some of the reading that I've been doing, that there's really not a lot of reliable data that shows that communities that have loosened or gotten rid of residency requirements altogether are necessarily hurt by that. Mayor Barrett reacted last night. He held a news conference, as Kathleen pointed out. Right away, and he's obviously making his thoughts known and clear, but it may be a bit of an alarmist reaction to what may or may not happen.
Well, let's just get your closing remarks on the budget and what you think might happen with this budget now that it goes to Joint Finance Committee and goes through the legislature. Chris Lotto, are we going to see essentially what we heard Governor Walker talk about last night?
Well, with a Republican-run legislature and a Republican governor, it obviously greases the skids a little bit, but the Joint Finance Committee will want to make its own mark on the budget, as will legislators in both houses. So things are going to change. There will be horse trading. There will be discussion. There will be issues that will be controversial. Residency requirements may be one. School choice is definitely another. Not every Republican is on board with what the governor proposed. That is very likely to see a lot of debate and potentially some changes. So, you know, it's not like the governor hands this out and that's what you're going to see. There's going to be a lot of discussion, a lot of debate over the issues, and folks in Wisconsin are going to have, a number of weeks, several months, really, to make their feelings known.
Yeah, and if you got to rewrite that, Kathleen Falk, what would you do?
Well, I agree with Chris that I think the school vouchers will be front and center of the changes, but I think we will also see changes in health care. You know, Wisconsin values are investing in our public education, decent health care, and good-paying jobs, and the governor's budget, I don't think, reflects those common sense basic values in Wisconsin in those areas.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to leave it there. Kathleen Falk, Chris Lotto, I want to thank you both very much for being here, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Kathleen Falk, former Dane County executive, served as a delegate to the 2012 Democratic National Convention, and Chris Lotto, former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a Republican campaign consultant. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Rob Ferret, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you do, you'll be automatically entered in a drawing for an iPad Mini. A contribution of any amount will support the programs you enjoy and get you entered into that drawing for the iPad Mini. Make your gift now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We still are looking for 27 pledges between now and the end of the news, so do try to help us reach this goal by making your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Another great informative conversation, this time with Chris Lotto and Kathleen Falk, about the governor's budget proposal and perspectives from you as well. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I'm not originally from here. I'm from Florida, and huge fan of Wisconsin Public Radio, a regular contributor. We didn't have anything even remotely close to it in Florida, and from what I understand from a lot of people who call out of state, there isn't anything like it in the country.
That's right. Pledge for this unique service at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you do, you can choose the Food for 40 thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more. I'm Joy Cardine with Rob Ferret, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio in whatever amount is right for you.
Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Here's a little bonus. You'll be entered into a drawing for an iPad Mini when you make that pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A little bit of boilerplate here. You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR iPad Mini Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. You can enter by sending a postcard or, better yet, by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, thanks very much to Carmen from Madison. She pledged for the Food for 40 thank you gift. She wants to be able to provide meals for the hungry in her area. That's for $10 a month. Thank you very much, Carmen. And Cheryl and Ron from Appleton, longtime listeners and members, they said, we have learned so many things over the years by listening to the many different programs that are offered by WPR. Thank you very much. Won't you also become a contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552?
And remember, any pledge today gets entered into that drawing for the iPad Mini. It's a great time to pledge. You're pledging, of course, because you support the programs, The Joy Cardine Show, and all the other great shows you listen to all week. And as a little extra bonus, get into that drawing. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It just takes a couple of minutes of your time. We'll ask you your name, some contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. And then you're on your way, knowing that you have supported a service that you value. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and pledge whatever amount is right to you.
We're here to inform you. We're here to entertain you. We're here to provide thought-provoking, stimulating conversations. But we can't do it without you as a listener, and we can't do it without you as a member. You can become a member by pledging any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember that your pledge of any amount, whatever it may be, enters you into the drawing for the iPad Mini. That is just one little bonus for your pledge today. And our thanks at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Rob, and thank you if you have supported Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.